The Ride on Racing Roundup on KCBQ is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
This is the Ride on Racing Roundup with Dave Stahl and Alex Kliniak on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome. This is the Ride on Racing Roundup brought to you by Ride On. Go to www.ride-on.com or give them a call, 619-572-7092. I'm Dave.
And I'm Alex.
And we're going to sit here for about an hour and talk to you about the wonderful world of motorcycling. We have a couple of guests on the line. We actually have Richard Dort and Desiree Bates. She is going to give us kind of an off-road sporting report. Desiree and I have worked together at KUSI, and she's an avid motocross rider working on her career. Working on sponsorship and plus loving to ride. Hey, Desiree, how are you tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful. Did you do any riding today?
I actually did not get a chance to ride. We had a trade show today for some of our metal work, so no.
Oh, bummer. But hey, you got a little report for us. Why don't you go ahead and see what you've got?
I do. There's a lot of good stuff going on this last week in off-road and motocross. This Saturday, the Speed Energy Stadium Super Trucks made a return trip to Qualcomm Stadium. There was 5 racing divisions, a tight course with both dirt and asphalt rhythms, crossover jumps, the whole 9 yards. This race was exciting from beginning to end. Driver number 98, PJ Jones, driving the American Racing Wheels truck, found trouble on lap 5 when he flipped over.
Oop.
Lap 14, Nick Baumgartner made contact with the outside K-rail and came to rest on top of the K-rail. 15-year-old Sheldon Krieg gave Bobby Gordon a run for his money. Tons of action during this race. It was so epic. Robbie Gordon finished in first place, followed by 15-year-old Sheldon Krieg, and third place, Rob McCracken. Friday was media day out at Qualcomm Stadium, and let me tell you guys, I got to ride shotgun with Robbie Gordon.
Right.
He jumped this 70-foot crossover jump with me in it. It was so epic. You can actually go to facebook.com/borndirtymx, and you can watch the entire video. I mean, it was so awesome.
They wanted me to do that, and I said, are you crazy? I am not riding with Robbie Gordon. You give me a steering wheel and I'll run with him, but I'm sure as heck not going to ride with him. So, but now, how was the attendance this time?
It was actually pretty good. The first one, not so much.
Right.
I mean, it seemed like there was less people, but there was a pretty turnout. So the word definitely got out.
All right. Well, I have to tell you this only because you worked at KUSI. There was a rider. His name is Lolo.
Laguna?
Yeah, that's it. Lolo Laguna. So I had him come out to KUSI with a aluminum ramp that probably was 3-4 feet in the air. And we put the aluminum ramp in front of San Diego Home and Garden magazine and had Lolo get back in the back and come around, pinning this thing, hits the ramp, flies 50 to 60 feet. Hits the ground, locks it up, and goes whipping around the turn and goes through the gate all the way to the patio and back around again.
Yep.
So, yeah, we had camera. They actually ran cables and everything. Everybody's all excited. So Lolo, he comes on the first time, and it's, you know, and at first he just comes up and stops on the ramp, and we interview him and everything. And then he gets backs up, and wow, he does a jump. And then this third jump that he did, it was so far and so high and so wide that when he landed, the suspension compressed and put a divot in the parking lot of KUSI. This thing had to be 12 inches long, probably half inch to 3/4 wide, and about 1/4 to 1/2 inch deep. Well, let me tell you what. I got phone calls.
Right?
Oh, my God. In fact, I get a call from Steve Cohen's assistant, which I didn't even know he had an assistant. And it was, Mr. Cohen would like to talk to you about a situation, Dave. Hold on one moment, please. I go, are you serious? So I told him, I go, dude, I will fix it, not to worry. So I had to go out today, and I got my asphalt filler, and I patched the parking lot. Can you believe it? You of all people would have appreciated it. I'm on my hands and knees patching a parking lot, but... And we were hoping that by coming to KUSI that it would kick the attendance up, because just like you said, man, it is nothing but it's fun racing. It's just like the good old days, but a lot faster. These are 600 horse trucks.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because when you watch them jump these things, like you see them jump this 70-foot jump.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my God, that's got to be so hard on them, you know, like as far as their body.
Right.
And so I go off the 75-foot jump with Robbie Gordon, and it's just plush landing.
Yeah,
like
butter.
The landing was, what kind of suspension do they have in these things?
They got 24-inch wheel travel.
Yeah, 24 in the rear, 18 in the front.
18 in the front. But see, the thing of it is, it helps if the truck's balanced. Now, if he didn't hit right, it would not be as kind to your body as, because I mean, there are times what'll happen is if they come around, when he was doing it with you, there was no racing involved. He was just doing it just to spectate. But when they're going hammer down, fender to fender, they have accidents almost as bad as sprint cars. Because when those trucks get
lit, they roll.
Yeah, because McCracken was there, or McCracken,
McCracken.
McCracken, I call him McCracken. He was there last night, but yeah, but there's been there was even a Cal VMX event. Was that today?
Yep, that was today, actually. They, as a matter of fact, it was the fifth round. It was out of Kaweah Creek.
Right.
Although I don't have the confirmed race results yet, but to tell you a little bit about Cal VMX, It's an awesome race series.
Yep.
It's vintage motocross. So if you have a 1985 CR250, whatever your bike is, you can take it out there and race. And they've even started racing three-wheelers.
Yeah.
So I just like to go out there just to watch the three-wheelers, you know?
Yeah.
It's an epic race. And the race today was to benefit the armed forces. So
right.
If you check out calvmx.net, you can check out vintage racing, and you can actually make a donation to our armed forces. It's an epic event. So, I mean, if you race dirt bikes, go out there and race dirt bikes and donate to men and women in the armed forces.
Well, stay in touch, because June 8th, they're going to be at Barona someplace, probably at the Barona track or Barona Oaks or something. And they've got a bike, they've got a helmet, they got shoes, they got everything for me.
So you're going
to
do it.
They want me to go out and run with the old farts. So I might do it. I mean, especially but I have to ride a Mako. I'd rather ride a Honda Elsinore, but they're going to make me ride a Mako. But I'm just saying, on the 8th, I'm not quite sure where it's going to be, but I might just go out and, you know, what the heck? I haven't broke anything lately. So
time.
I know it's time. So what else you got on your plate, kid?
Well, yesterday was the first outdoor race. So Supercross is over. It's time for the outdoors. I don't know about you, but I love outdoor motocross.
Much better than indoor. Yeah.
You know, I'm at a Paula Raceway. I just enjoy, you know, the outdoor series so much more.
Yeah.
But yesterday was the season opener out at Hangtown. In the 250 class, Red Bull KTM's Ken Roczen opened up the 2013 Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championships with a win in Moto One. He outpaced Geico Honda's Eli Tomac and Blake Baggett, who took second and third place.
Right.
The battle was so intense, Blake Baggett grabbed the whole shot, and KTM rider Marvin Muskan hung in there for second place. Eventually, Ken Roczen took them both. He claimed the lead, and he took it all the way to the checkers.
Yeah.
In Moto 2, Ken Roczen, he just swept the entire class. He beat Blake Baggett by over 12 seconds.
Wow.
Geico Honda's Eli Tomac, he fought hard and ended up with, he came back from an eighth place and he ended in third. So he still got podium, and that was quite an impressive fight.
Yeah.
In the 450 class, Monster Energy Kawasaki's Ryan Villopoto made a big return to Lucas Oil Motocross Series. He finished first place in Moto 1. Second place finisher Ryan Zenge of Red Bull KTM, and he ending out Moto 1 in third place was Yoshimura Suzuki's James Stewart. Stewart started with a hole shot, but was bar to bar through the first turns. Villopoto quickly gained the lead, fortunately for Stewart, and just was uncatchable at that point.
But Villopoto almost ate his lunch.
Yeah.
You know, after the first turn, I mean, I don't know if he just got crossed up, but I mean, he was able to bring it back, and it was like, whoa, 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 but he pulled it off.
Right. Villopoto is just on fire.
Yeah, he's unbeatable. I don't know if there's anybody out there right now.
You know, I love Villopoto because he rides Cali, so I don't want him to be unbeatable. I mean, I do want him to be unbeatable.
Well, there's
a Dudgy. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I know you're right. But there's a combination that him and his crew chief have got that nobody else has got. There's something you race. I mean, your relationship with your crew chief is probably 80% of the ride.
Right. Well, and your mechanic's setting up your bike for you. So obviously the ability to convey some message to your mechanic and your crew chief, whatever.
Yeah.
They've got it down.
I'm telling you. So what's coming up next?
Well,
what do we got?
Like you said, Cal BMX is coming up at Verona Raceway on June 8th. They have a tribute to Scott Burnworth. So each race, they have a tribute to legends. It's very cool. So Gary Jones is out there. Tammy Greenhill, she's an ex-pro women's rider. Bonnie Warsh, I know you know who she is.
Oh, yeah.
So each race, they have a tribute to all these legends. You get to race with the legends. So if there's one series that I recommend you check out, and you need to come, Dave, because
I know
Cal BMX is an epic racing.
Okay.
2013.
All right, kiddo. Hey, well, we got to go now. So thank you very much for calling in. We want you to do this more often.
Okay, cool.
And who's this sponsored by? You got a sponsor yet?
Born Dirty MX.
That's my girl. All right, kiddo. We'll talk at you later. Have a safe one, folks. We're going to take a small break. But Alex, who we got coming in next?
We got Richard Dort, and we are going to learn all about the world of electric sport bike racing.
Electric sport bike racing?
Yes.
You and your extension cord.
I don't know.
This is the Ride On Racing Roundup. I'm Dave.
And I'm Alex.
And we'll be back in a moment.
Cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and he'd be pushing out the wheel. We're going downtown in the middle of the night. We're laughing and I'm joking and we're feeling all right.
Keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
I woke up this afternoon and looked into your eyes. And something was as wrong as it was.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Ride On Racing Roundup. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at FiberTech, 10809 Prospect Avenue in Santee. Give them a call, 619-448-0221. FiberTech does it all. They've been there for more years than I care to admit. Not only do they sell you the part, they'll install the part, and they'll even build your vehicle if you want. That's right. They have a full-fledged build shop in the back. The owner actually races professionally. So not only do they take care of his vehicle, they can take care of yours too. FiberTech, 10809 Prospect Avenue in Santee. Just take the 67 to Prospect, and when you drop off the freeway, look across the street to your left, and that big building is it. 619-448-0221. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ AM 1170. So who you got for the guest tonight there, son?
Well, tonight we have Richard Dort, and Richard writes a blog. It's called ESBK, that's electricsportbike.co. And of anybody that I can think of that is truly tapped into, pun intended here, the power structure of electric motorcycle racing, especially in North America, Richard Dort is the name that comes to mind. I mean, this guy can talk to the head of Brammo or Zero Motorcycles. He's had many interviews with Eric Bostrom, who's been involved with Brammo in the development of their new Impulse RR and TTX motorcycle platforms. And just watching what's coming on the horizon. And I think even more importantly for the rest of the listeners in the audience is, this isn't something that's going to happen in 2 or 3 years like NASCAR is talking about. This is something that's already been going on for the last 2 or 3 years. So they have many years already started, and it's moving on. And this is truly the infancy of what you're going to see as the future of motorsport.
Well, Richard, welcome to the show. Oh, Richard.
Hey, there we go.
There we go.
There we go.
Well, if you don't put the quarter in the slot, that's what happens. So we apologize for that.
Oh, well, you know.
I know. So electric motorcycle racing, huh?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And just to clarify, I don't get to talk to the heads of Zero and Brammo. It's just like they're head engineers.
It's okay. It's all right. You could tell us anything. Now, aren't you a little worried that OPEC's going to come hunt you down and drag you off in the woods someplace?
Well, I'm from the woods of Maine originally, so but, you know, I'm not scared of that. And then I am a veteran of the U.S. Navy, so, you know, it's that comes with advantages.
Absolutely.
I don't go after a veteran. It makes some bad headlines. So I feel pretty safe.
But, you know, I've been an advocate for electric vehicles since the 90s. I had an EV1, the original one, for a month and fell flat in love with it. Didn't want to let it go. And, you know, I've driven I have driven everything on the market that's electric. And there is such a need, but the public just doesn't get the message. And it's because there's people that don't want that message to get out. I think it's a perfect time now. And now that you're into the motorsport end of it, and you've been racing electric bikes for how long?
I haven't been racing them.
Oh.
I'm just a fan. I run a blog and a podcast. And
I thought you raced them.
No.
You wished you could.
Oh man, you have no idea. I have been watching motorcycle racing. You know, I'm a big fan of superbikes and MotoGP, and I always follow Nicky Hayden and Ben Spies and
DeHommel.
DeHommel of Miguel.
I have to tell you a cute story. I was interviewing Miguel at Auto Club Speedway for the superbike event, I don't know, a few years back. And he's so serious. I mean, the guy, you know, he just, of course, maybe it's because he was racing that day. So I was trying to figure out a way to kind of crack him up a little bit. So I asked him where that part was, if he knew where the part was on the bike, that when he fell off, the bike was like a radar and it would find him and try to poke holes in him. He started laughing. He says, no, but if I ever find that thing, I am truly going to take it off. But, I mean, seriously. Then he tried to talk me into getting on that. Don't they have they give you a journalist a ride on the back of a superbike? No. I enjoy watching them. I love motorcycle. I ride myself. But so do you think the electric motorcycle can make a dent in this industry? Do you think it'll be accepted?
Yeah, I have to take I'm sorry. Sometimes wording things comes a little slow, but I am finding the vitriol that people spout on the comments on blog posts and on other forums and stuff that are read much more than mine is lessening, and it's becoming a much more Brembo and Zero in 2013 have come out with some bikes that people are now calling real motorcycles. I mean, that's EV, you know, electric motorcycle enthusiasts, whether you call them E-motors or L-motors or whatever you want to call them, are like, wow, these things are spectacular for production motorcycles. We're talking both bikes are 40 kilowatt hours, which works out to 54 horsepower. They're both almost 70 foot-pound of torque, you know, between 65 to 70 foot-pound of torque, you know, between the two brands.
Mm-hmm.
They look that Street Fighter look. They got good styling. You know, one, the Zero makes an excellent commuter bike. It's quiet, almost no maintenance because it's a belt drive. It's air-cooled motor. There's no liquid cooling. Whereas the Brembo Impulse is got a 6-speed transmission and liquid cooling, so there's a little more maintenance there.
Right.
They're real bikes. And,
and
the Brembo, everyone's raving, almost everyone's raving about the handling. You can tear it. You just put someone fast on it. We'll put Eric Bostrom on a Brembo in the twisties, and you are not going to catch him.
Well, same thing with the Zero, really. Now, Zero's more designed for dirt, you know, kind of a motocross bike. Have they made a street bike?
Yeah. They've got five models. Zero has a huge
Amount.
They've got five models. They got the S, the DS, which is a dual sport.
Right.
FX, which is just a fun it's basically a street version hooligan bike version of their MX motocross bike, just with the smaller controller and smaller motor.
Okay.
And that dirt bike, that MX dirt bike, is serious. Like, it's no joke.
Yeah.
250 shouldn't be able to touch that thing, and it's aiming square at the 450s. But we'll see what, in the hands of real motor journalists, we'll see what it does.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the S and DS, they have evolved from that kind of original mountain bike kind of chassis, evolved up. They're light. They're 100, almost 100 pounds lighter, depending on the model, than the Brembo. They don't have that sport tuning, though. They're not a sport bike. They are sport. They are sporty. But from, you know, and again, I'm saying this as someone who hasn't ridden one, so take that. But I've done my homework and tried to interview and read and get as many impressions of all the owners as I can, and that seems, and the journalists who have tested them, and that seems to be the motorcycle.com came up with that conclusion. There's a video, a comparison of the two, and a write-up.
Right. And I'm really more familiar with Zero than I am the other bike. I mean, I've seen the other bike as well. But with the Zero, you're right. It started out as a mountain bike. It was kind of the concept. It made it a little bit difficult if you had to replace parts and pieces if you were out someplace, you know, because they were kind of specifically made. And now the bike is truly a motocross bike, and you can buy hubs and tires and wheels and controls, you know, hand controls and stuff from your local bike store, which is kind of cool. And we thought they were going to come to Nora, you know, to kind of run the electric bike just to see if they could handle that. But for whatever reason, that one didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, nobody's really done that so far. We, with the EV1, are the only electric off-road team
that's ran
to actually make any real campaign.
Yeah, well,
Zero doesn't really have a race program. That's
right.
Not their main concern. Right, their main concern is making bikes. They have their lead engineer, Kenyon Kluge, has Moto Zero, and he successfully ran 4 2012 model year Zero S's, which are half the power, last year in the TTX GP series in North America, and got moto journalists and just local riders on the bikes, and actually helped build the grid and support the series in a very big way.
Right.
I mean, the bikes weren't particularly competitive, but they afforded some of the best racing to watch last year because they were so equally matched.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like spec racing.
Exactly. It was spec racing in the back of the field. The series is so small, they kind of have to run all the bikes together. So as it grows, it'll you know, well, actually, it's going to separate this year. But, no, not this year, next year. Sorry. Right. There's a lot going on in this world, and it changes constantly.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why I don't do a blog.
Yeah.
You'll be sitting on that thing all day and all night.
I come home from fixing bicycles, and I sit here for another 4 or 5 hours in front of the computer trying to find out what happened today. So,
really?
Yeah, it's so. And then Hollywood Electrics is the number one Zero dealer in the country. They're in Hollywood in L.A., and they have been pushing the racing. So really those are the guys to go to if you want to race your Zero.
Right.
And they're getting involved. They actually have a series – a class in the M1 GP, and you can go to Hollywood Electrics if you want to race in the M1 GP, which is like an entry-level club racing series. They race like little 50s and 100s and 150s and stuff like that, and supermotos are allowed. And if you want to race in that series and do the electric bikes, because you don't have to rebuild your engine every, you know, race, and, you know, you just plug it in, charge it up, make sure the brakes and tires are good, and away you go.
I know.
So if you go, you want to get into that, you go to Hollywood Electrics. Hollywood Electrics put a team together for the Pikes Peak, which is coming up the end of June.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to be there again with 2013 Zero S's, you know, which are, like I said, again, twice as powerful as last year's bike.
Sure.
And we're really excited to see how they stack up against Brammo's TTX, which is just a super sport treatment to a stock Impulse R.
Wow. Hey, so, tell you what. Richard, we got to take a quick break. Hang on to that thought when we come back, more on the Ride On Racing Roundup. I'm Dave.
And I'm Alex.
And this is KCBQ AM 1170. And this is the Love Network. All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Ride On Racing Roundup. I'm Dave.
And I'm Alex.
And this segment is brought to you by Express Auto Service, right up there on El Cajon Boulevard, 7633 El Cajon Boulevard, to be exact. Give them a call, 619-463-1484, 619-463-1484. Or go to expressautoservice.com. Dave and Connie take care of all my hot rods. And, hey, if anybody can take care of my 13 cars, I have no problem sending you there as well. We have a special guest on the line. Who have we got there, Alex?
Well, we've got Richard Dort tonight, and he's been giving us a wonderful introduction into what's going on in the world of electric sport bike racing. And it's also very important to have him on this week, because coming in the month of June, there are going to be many, many really important events, actually worldwide, for electric motorcycling. The TTGP for the Isle of Man is one that comes immediately to mind, and then there are other series that are being brought out across the country in North America. And Richard will also be able to give more information on this, but there's quite an interest in North America, and we actually might be leading the way in the world for electric sport bikes.
Interesting. Well, before we do that, Richard, we were talking off air. You're a bicycle technician, so you work on bicycles pretty much all day long. What got you into the electric aspect of it?
I am formerly an airplane electrician in the United States. And my father was an electronics technician, and before that, in the Air National Guard. And before that, my grandfather was in motor pool in the Air National Guard as well. And he was the go-to guy when they had electrical issues. By the time I was nine, my father had taught me how to draw a basic electrical circuit.
Ah. Let me tell you, my dad taught me about electricity. He says, son, grab this wire underneath the hood of a Chevy, grab this fender. He goes in. It was a coil wire, by the way. Turned on the ignition. I was standing in water, honest to God. I blew off the fender, and I laid out in the grass and flopped around like a fish out of water. To this day, I don't know about it. I don't like it. I don't even like talking about it because that stuff is nasty.
That ain't nothing compared to the, 115 volts, which isn't bad, but it was three-phase, 400 hertz. Ooh. And if you topped your multimeter into the wrong wires on the top of a C-130, it would blow you 30 feet clear.
Oh, yes. Oh, I totally understand. So, okay, so you come by it totally naturally. But, I mean, just because you're in the electrical field, and really, you know, I think this is the only area where, because we here in San Diego, we have the Electric Vehicle Association, where these guys and girls get together and they build electric vehicles, whether they be out of an MR2 or what have you. And now we're starting to see bicycles and motorcycles. I think it's the last of the grassroots do-it-yourself industry that you can afford to do.
Well, I found out about this through, I've been a longtime motorcycle race fan, plus, you know, and motorcyclist. Plus the electrical background, and I was like, wow, that'd be great. And I looked it up, and I found elmoto.net. If you're interested in building your own electric motorcycle, this is the go-to forum for do-it-yourselfers on electric motorcycles.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where I got started, and I would talk about racing all the time, and one of the guys was like, hey, we want to talk about, building stuff.
So yeah.
I had to start my own blog, and here I am.
You know, you had mentioned the racing before, and I mentioned the TTGP, that's Isle of Man, but I know there's another, what is it, the TTXGP, or what is the United States series?
Okay, well, it's a little confusing. The original electric motorcycle race was the TTXGP on the Isle of Man in 2009, and the organization by that name, TTXGP, organized that race. They then organized an international series, and they organized it differently than we're used to. We're used to an AMA, a BSB, an Australian Superbike, the Spanish series, and then those guys try to get to the World Superbike or to the MotoGP. We're used to that. What he did was organize three continental series, North American series, the first in 2010, it was North America, England, and Europe, and then 2011 it was North America, Europe, and Australia. And then the top 12 can go on and qualify to race at the world final. It was a one-day winner-takes-all world final. And that's how that format started. The Isle of Man in 2010 decided to do it themselves, and that race since has been called the TT0. So there's some confusion. The FIM had its own series in 2010, the FIM and the TTXGP, as soon as they tried to start a single series, split before the series even started. And so there was a competitive e-power race that was competing with the TTXGP, and this year they have unified, and it's now called e-road racing. So it's kind of a good thing that no one's really been paying attention, because it's utterly confusing.
Gosh, it sounds like the hot rod community trying to get everybody together to do one thing.
Yeah. It's a lot like that. So, and the names, it's funny. I talked to, as I was saying, the president of the CEO, of the TTXGP, and trying to find a name that they could get a website for and didn't infringe on any copyrights was near on impossible.
Really?
So, yeah. So it's the E-Road Racing. I like to call it the ERR for short. And Well, I mean, if you need a lot of these sport bikes always have an RR on the end.
Sure.
ER900RR and the BMW 1000RR, S1000RR. And so I'm kind of like, all right, that kind of works.
Yeah. Well, yeah, ERR. You know, that sounds typical. Well, Alex and I have been talking about branching out and doing another show, and it's strictly motorsports, but with electric vehicles. And then talking about other, you know, normal electric vehicles as well. And we're going to call it Green Speed.
Yeah, and actually it'll turn into Green Machine Radio.
Green Machine Radio. It's just because, you know, because everybody's now starting to get on the bandwagon. And I've been doing electric radio for a long, long time. You know, because the biggest problem I see with anything electric is education of the masses, because they just don't get it. You know, the first words out of their mouth if you're driving an electric vehicle is, how far can I go?
Yeah.
How far do you need to go?
Yeah.
Well, I drive to L.A. I drive 100 miles a day. Then you don't need an electric vehicle. Go away. Go get something else.
Yeah.
That would be the Tesla now.
Yeah, but that's not really – I mean, that's kind of an electric vehicle.
Kind of an electric vehicle. It's an all-electric vehicle.
Well, I know, but I live out here, and I have these two gnarly hills that'll challenge any electric vehicle out there. You know, and that's what kills these things. You know, because when they give you your range numbers, that's flat. You know, that's a nice flat surface, maybe not even any wind. Who knows? So you got to be really careful, you know, because that's why I tell people, you know, my suggestion is rent one, drive it, make sure you can make it to and from, and then don't worry about it. But since you're into electric vehicles, let me ask you this, because I'm going to Fiat's. I went to the Fiat E press release, and the 110 charger on the car. Remember back in the day, it would still take 8 to 10 hours with a 110? Now it's taken, with the Fiat, it was 29 hours. Toyota's RAV4 electric takes 43 hours if you just use the 110.
That's low amperage.
Well, but the problem is it's taking away. I mean, if I worked and I wanted to charge it at my business, well, it's not going to do me any good unless I have a 220 charger. It's almost like they're pushing us to buy these 220 chargers.
Well, no. I mean, look, it's simple math. The most you're going to get out of a wall socket is 1.5 kilowatts, and that's probably going to pop a breaker. So they're all tuned down to about 1.3 kilowatts, 1,300 watts, okay?
Okay.
That's all you're going to suck out of it. And so the bigger and the bigger pack, you know, it's not the charger on board. I can pump out, you know, 6 kilowatts. I mean, the silliest thing I've ever seen is a Leaf coming out with a 3-kilowatt charger. That's the same size charger the Brembo Impulse has. It's three times the size of the pack. That's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, come on, guys. You can't put a bigger charger in there? Seriously?
But anyway,
what it is they're like, okay, well, we need, you know, customers want range, so you have to have bigger packs. And even if the packs are physically the same size because we get denser batteries or whatever, still energy-wise, a much bigger pack. So they're just meeting the demand the customers want. And, yeah, you're going to have a 220 charger at home.
Right.
They'll charge your car overnight, and no problem.
And right now, you know, there's places around town that have chargers, and, yes, it's free, and you can roll in there, and it's a wonderful thing, but guaranteed.
Oh, you're going to be paying.
It's just a matter of time, I'm telling you. You know, it's almost like, well, we're addicted. We're addicts anyway when it comes to fuel. So why couldn't they make us addicted to electricity? I mean, it's the same exact thing. But, you know, it is what it is. But my personal opinion is, if you live in a situation where an electric vehicle makes sense, buy it. Lease it. I don't care. Get one. I mean, it'll save you a bucket load of money.
Yeah.
But,
there's no maintenance.
No, there's nothing. No. In fact, being an ex-service manager, I'm not real happy. If I was at a service manager now, I don't know if I'd be too thrilled about my owner bringing an electric vehicle in, because now I'm not going to make any money in service, because you got tire rotation, air in the tires, and the washer bottle. And that's it. I'm done.
I asked Brian Wissman the lead, hang on a second, project design leader, Yeah, I can't remember his name or title right now. He's in charge of product design.
Hey, he's bigger than you and me.
Yes. Okay. And he's also the team manager, even though he doesn't really – I think he's a bit humble. But I asked him that exact question because I had the interview coming up and some people had brought it up on the Bramble forums, and I asked him that, and he said the motorcycle service managers don't seem to see that as a negative because they kind of find that, you know, when someone comes in, especially if you own a BMW, you know exactly how expensive it is to have your motorcycle serviced.
Right.
And to not have to go in and just be able to go and visit your shop just to spoon some new tires on and flush the brake fluid once in a while and put some new pads on and not have a $300 bill for valve adjustments and whatever else needed to be done and air filters and blah, 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 blah. They're hoping that it's going to breed a better relationship, and then your customers have more money for accessories.
Well, there you go. And I talked to one dealer down here that was a zero dealer, and he ended up he's still a zero dealer, but he's got the display over in the corner back in the back. And I think the key is you got to get your sales staff excited about this bike.
Right.
Otherwise, no one's going to sell it.
There's a Bramble dealer in Florida that's always on Twitter. They made a video about it, and they did an electric slide.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I am not. It is so funny and cute. They're really cool, and they were really excited about it.
Yeah.
There's way more zero dealers out there, I believe, than Bramble dealers, but the Bramble dealers seem to make a bigger deal of it.
Yeah.
At least on the social media.
Well, I only know one guy in San Diego, and this has been a few years back, that had a Bramo. He was the only guy. I don't think there was anybody else. There were a few more zeros than there were Bramos, so maybe that'll change. Hey, I got to take a quick break. You stay right with us, buddy, and we'll be back in a moment. This is the Ride On Racing Roundup. I'm Dave.
And I'm Alex.
And you've been listening to KCBQ AM 1170 Intelligent Talk Radio.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down. At all your feet. Take you home with me. Put you in my house.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
Mustang Sally.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Ride On Racing Roundup. I'm Dave.
And I'm Alex.
And this segment is brought to you by West Escondido Auto and Trans right there at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. Give them a call, 760-741-0071. Or you can visit them on the web at westescondidoauto.com. They do it all, everything from smogs to engines to tune-ups, oil changes, trannies, diffs, you name it, they do it. Well, Alex, this has been a great show, and it's really been a joy having Richard on the line.
Yeah, and before we get too close to the end of the hour, I'd really like to ask Richard some of the impressions that he was able to get from Eric Bostrom on the way that these new Bramos ride. They actually have James Parker, if you remember the Rad motorcycle design, the single hub leading wheel. It was a very kind of a no front swing arm. It was kind of that central hub design.
Mm-hmm.
James Parker designed that, and he's actually designing engines for Bramo, or not engines, motors for Bramo. and other
two different Parkers. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's two different Parkers.
Two different Parkers. Yeah.
This Parker is the motor designer, but what they're creating with these new motors and the performance of these new bikes, and it's interesting. Eric Bostrom, he basically is saying, hey, these gas bikes are just yelling at you all the time. The electric bikes don't do that. So it's kind of interesting, just the riding personality of these machines, because everything that you drive or ride has its own personality.
I like to be yelled at. Just that simple. I like my bike to yell at me. I even like my cars to yell at me. I just don't like my women to yell at me. That's all. Right? Is that right, Richard? Come on.
Yeah. You got a point there.
But.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but. Go ahead.
Ah, okay. Mission Motors, who put an electric bike with Steve Rapp on board. Within 2011, they got literally within 10 seconds of the pole position of the MotoGP race that same weekend.
Goodness.
And that Mission Motors chassis was designed by James Parker of that rad fame. Parker Harifin is the motor company out of the Midwest. I can't remember where they're at right now, and they were kind enough to send me a hat, which is really cool. They're partners with Brammo, and they've been making Brammo's electric race motors, and now the R-Spec Impulse, not the standard spec Impulse, but the R-Spec Impulse has a Parker motor with about 20 foot-pound more torque.
Wow.
Which is where you get that 66 foot-pound torque they're now claiming, whereas the standard motor is only 40 foot-pound torque. Same kilowatts, mm-hmm. but more torque, and the peak tends to be in the middle of the rev range. Eric was talking about and Shalina Moreta, who's teammate, she rides the TTX, the Supersport Impulse, and then Steve Atlas is the other prototype racer. They're up to about 160 horsepower to the rear wheel now, and Brammo has steadily increased power over the years, whereas, you know, like bikes like Motosys and Lightning have come out, and they've had 200-plus horsepower bikes from the get-go.
Wow.
These are powerful, powerful bikes. They were running, I'm pretty sure if you look at the top speed times, I think the Lightning was running faster trap speeds at Laguna Seca than, I want to say, even the AMA Superbikes, but I might be exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ridiculously powerful. These are very, very powerful machines. So, but Eric was saying, he said he's been racing forever, and you know, a gas bike screams at you. It's this drill sergeant saying, go, 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 go. And here's this Impulse who's like, and I, you know, is like this internet trainer. You know, gives you the plan and expects you to do it.
Oh yeah.
You know, you have to be kind of a little more self motivated. So he's having to call upon his maturity and experience and stay self motivated. But he said, here's the neat thing is as a fan, from a fan perspective, they can now hear you, absolutely cheer and holler because they're gonna hear you.
Oh sure.
You can still hear him go by. I could hear Eric when he went 170 miles an hour through the Tri-Oval Daytona when I covered the World Final. I could still hear the bike during practice through the gas bikes. But you don't hear them all the way around the track. You just hear them coming and going.
Sure.
When they're near you. He said it was so weird because you can hear the tires now. You can hear the brakes.
Wow.
All this engine, you can feel. Here's this, so much more feel from an electric motorcycle because you don't have this engine creating vibration, numbing all the sensations. So now you've got all this stuff. There's so much to feel. You can actually corner these things, if they're set up right, better than a gas bike of the same weight, because there's so much more feedback, and
sure.
None of this information is getting numbed. He said the weirdest thing was, I'm pretty sure it was the rear rotor, the floating rotor, and he'd get off the brake as he came into the apex. He'd get off the rear brake, and all of a sudden you hear the.
No kidding.
Yeah, the first few times he's like, "What is that?" You know.
Wow, just think what you could do for setup, you know, if you got comfortable with the noises, you knew what they were, you know, you could hear and feel. Wow, setting that bike up, that could be an edge just in itself.
Well, you know, it was like the other gentleman talking about the SV1. You know, you weren't getting beat up by the sound. You
right.
have more energy. You have, both Shirlina and Eric have talked about, there's so much more space in your head to deal with the motorcycle. Because it's not shouting at you anymore.
Sure.
So you don't have that to tune out. It's just, here's all this awesome information. Here's the tire sound. Here's the brake rotor sound.
Hmm.
You know, chassis feedback is awesome.
The beauty of that, with the electric bike is the setup on it suspension-wise, it stays the same the entire race because the electrons don't really weigh anything. It's
and
just
fuel.
The energy.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to deal with a heavy gas tank or an empty gas tank.
Right.
You know, your setup, once you're dialed in, you're dialed in.
Where are we at on pricing on these bikes? I know you don't sell them, but, I mean, you probably know some idea.
Yep. The R, Impulse R is $18,999, so $19,000.
It's right
and
in there.
Regular Impulse is $2,000 less.
Okay.
And the R basically gives you some carbon fiber bits, 20 more foot-pound of torque because of the different motor,
right.
And nicer suspension, fully adjustable suspension, whereas the regular Impulse, I still think, is four-way adjustable, but it's limited adjustments. It's
right.
Semi-adjustable. And then the zeros are the top. There's two for each zero, there's two battery models. So there's a bigger pack and a smaller pack.
Mm-hmm.
So the S and I think the DS are the same prices. Actually, I've got the site right here. Let me do some clicking. Sorry.
Isn't that funny how you can't talk and work the computer at the same time?
I know.
I'm terrible at it. I'll be sitting here saying, well, let me look this up, and then I'm seeing a dead air. Everybody in the building starts to freak out. But
Go ahead. Anyway, the top-of-the-line Zero is $3,000 less than the top-of-the-line Brammo.
Really?
Is how that works out. But, I mean, you don't get the most charging you get is you can get a J1772 adapter for your Zero S, but it's still only going to charge at 13 or 1.3 kilowatts. You know, you don't get any more out of it than you would out of a 110.
Right.
Whereas the Brammo comes with a 3-kilowatt charger and a J1772 plug already in it. So you get that standard. There's a lot of stuff, nicer stuff. The suspension on the Zero is a lesser spec, because they've got a price point to meet, and they've got a bike they're aiming for, and they
right.
weren't out to kill Brammo in the sport bike world. They wanted to make the best practical motorcycle they could that was fun and was sporty. And, you know, you're getting radial tires, you're getting Marchesini rims with the Brammo. You get a lot of extra stuff. So there's
sure.
value in the Brammo, but if you don't want a sport bike, and many folks don't, they want an electric bike for commuting, it's money that you don't want to, you know, necessarily.
Right. All right. So, hey, what's your blog if people want to, you know, take a look?
ESBK.co.
All right.
And then I also have a podcast that called ESBK Studios.
All right. Very good. Well, hey, man, it's always nice chatting with you. Hopefully we'll be talking to you down the road.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Take care. Well, folks, that's it. That's the Ride On Racing Roundup. The You Ought to Know show's coming up next. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about there. Got a couple interviews we want to run. We got one on the solo wheel, electric transportation, by putting a wheel between your ankles. Good luck with that right here on KUCBQ. Alex, have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
All right. This is the Love Network. We'll talk to you in about 5 minutes.
Ride On Racing Roundup on KCBQ is sponsored by Dave Stahl.